This morning, if you look at the title on the slide here, God can't use me. And I put it in quote marks because that's something that I have heard people say before. So there are times that we think God can't use us, that we are unqualified, that we have too much in our past that was wrong, that God could really never use me. I want to tell you, if you've ever been tempted to think that way, you're wrong. You're flat out wrong. I want you to check out these people we're going to have over the next several slides that are servants of God, but look what they had in their life. So the point is going to be, God can use any of us, no matter our past, no matter what we think might keep us from being useful to God. So come along with me as we go through here. The first person we're going to talk about is Noah. Consider Noah. The world was altogether evil, we're told early on in the book of Genesis. God had him build the ark. Noah, however, found favor in the eyes of the Lord, Genesis 6:8. He and his family were told to get into the ark, and the world gets wiped out, and they survive. What a great servant. That's the reason we're all here, right? Yet, look what Noah had going on in his life, in his situation. Genesis 9, Noah began to be a man of the soil and planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and became drunk. So some reason or other, Noah was a big drinker. Yet God used him. How about Abraham? Abraham is called the father of the faithful. God promised he would have a son. And through that promise, that son, the promise of Jesus, came to all of us. Abraham, Father Abraham, right? The father of the faithful. A son through whom all the world would be blessed. Yet, when we consider Abraham, look at Genesis 17:17. Then Abraham bowed down with his face to the ground and laughed as he said to himself, "Can a son be born to a man who is 100 years old?" Abraham was old. God used him. When he received this promise, he was nearly 100 years old. And he's like, "You've got to be joking. I'm going to have a son at my age. You're going to use me to bless the whole world at my age." God said, Sure am. How about Sarah, his wife? Consider her the mother of the promise. Yet, Genesis 16:1-2. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not given birth to any children, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "Behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my maid, that it shall be that I shall obtain children by her." A lot of historical context going on in this verse. The key is, the focus here, Sarai was not waiting around so that she might conceive. She didn't think she would ever be able to have children. Sarai was impatient. God wasn't moving fast enough for her, so she was going to help things out. And in the process of trying to help things out, created a whole lot of stress and conflict that the world is still suffering from. How about Jacob? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He's called Israel. He's the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's Jacob. His name is mentioned 361 times in the Bible. Yet, surely Jacob, right? Great servant of God. What? Jacob has a yet? Sure does. Look at Genesis 27:22-24. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He, Isaac, did not recognize him, Jacob, because his hands were hairy like Esau's, his brother Esau's hands. So he, Isaac, blessed him, Jacob. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" Jacob answered, "I am." So he went to his father to be blessed. Big deal at the time. Big, big deal. Jacob was a liar and a cheat. He stole. Not only really worked out a way to get the birthright, but he stole the blessing from his father and lied. You can't get around that. Are you Esau? Sure am, Pop. Flat out lied to his father. And yet this is Jacob. Israel, the whole country is named for this man. Pretty big deal. Yet, how do you think the rest of the people, I've got a number of people we're going to talk with, all of them are going to have a yet. Focus on it. Here we go. Moses. Consider Moses, the prophet, had been a prince of Egypt. He led the children of Israel, again that's Jacob, led the children of Israel out of Egypt and to the promised land and received the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments on the mountain. Yet, come on, what's the yet for Moses? Back in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, Moses replied, I've never been a good speaker. I wasn't one before you spoke to me, and I'm not one now. I'm slow at speaking, and I can never think of things to say. Moses was a poor speaker that some people believe also stuttered. And yet, God wanted him to go and speak to Pharaoh to bring his people out of Egypt. So yeah, God used Moses, even though he may have been slow of speech or a stutterer. How about King David? Consider David, the man after God's own heart, we are told. The king, if you will, the king of the Old Testament. The writer of the book of Psalms, Matthew introduces Jesus as Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Pretty important company right there. Yet, what about David? 2 Samuel 11:14, we read, then David sent messengers and took her when she came to him, and he lay with her, Bathsheba. David had seen her bathing from the rooftop, wanted her, and as the king, he sent and had her brought to him, and they slept together. Child is conceived out of that evening. So look what David does a few verses later. 2 Samuel 11:14 through 15. So in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and said, put Uriah, that's Bathsheba's husband, put Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and withdraw from him so that he may be struck down and die. Man after God's own heart, right? David was an adulterer and a murderer. God used him. How about Jonah? Consider Jonah. He's a prophet. And again, what an honor. Somebody that God chooses to send a message to his people, or in this case, to the people of Nineveh, capital of Assyria. And when he took that message to them saying, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown and destroyed, Nineveh repented. No one would ever have thought they would do that other than God. But what happened? God had told Jonah, rise, go to the great city of Nineveh and call out to her, for their evil has risen before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah tried to run away from God. And yet God brought him back through the belly of a whale, right? Belly of a great fish. God used Jonah. How about Elijah? Consider Elijah the great prophet. If David was the king of the Old Testament, Elijah is the great prophet. When Jesus is transfigured in the gospel account, Moses and Elijah are there with Jesus. Big time company. Moses, Elijah, Jesus, right? He had the confrontation with the prophets of Baal, the idol that most of the northern kingdom at that time worshipped. They had all these altars and were having a great contest. All the meat being sacrificed was put on the altars. The other people, the prophets of Baal, calling out to Baal to consume and show that Baal was real. Nothing happened. Elijah insulted him. Maybe he's on a vacation. Maybe he's gone to the bathroom for a while. You know, maybe he's just not hearing you. Scream louder. He abuses them all day. Nothing happens. Until he calls out to God to consume the altar Elijah had prepared, it consumes all the other altars too. Big, big time event in the Old Testament. Yet, look at this. This is Elijah speaking. 1 Kings 18:22. I, even I only, am left a prophet of the Lord. And then in chapter 19, Elijah asked that he might die, saying, it's enough. now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm no better than my father's. Elijah was moody and depressed. He felt, I'm the only one. Everybody's after me. I'm kind of like, woe is me. Talk about going from a high like crazy of this huge event of all the altars and all this stuff with all these other false prophets nearby to running for the hills. Just let me die. God used Elijah. New Testament example. How about Zacchaeus? Remember the old song, Zacchaeus, when we sing, was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he, right? I'm singing it over here. He was a tax collector. He was rich. He was rich because he had stolen more money than he should have collected from his own family, his own people. Yet Jesus said in Luke 19, 5, verses 5 and 9, Jesus speaking to Zacchaeus, I'm going to stay at your house today. And then in verse 9, today salvation has come to your house, to Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Yet, Zacchaeus was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. Zacchaeus was short. Somebody might be tempted to say, God can't use me, I'm short. God can't use me, I'm bald. I mean, whatever reasons people would try to come up with. And you notice the consistent thing here? So many of these important people God used in the Bible had things that were reasons they might have thought, God won't want me. David, I killed somebody. My life's over. Noah, I like tipping the cup a bit too much. Right? Moses, hard to even get a sentence out. Jonah, not me. I'm out of town. I'm getting out of here. Elijah, you know. And again, I'm doing that because I know the feeling. I think most of us do, where we bounce up and down sometimes when things don't go our way. How about this one? Thomas. Consider Thomas, an apostle, willing to die with Jesus when they went to check on Lazarus when he was sick. Look at John 11, 16. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him, with Jesus. Jesus' friend Lazarus was sick. That's what they were told. Jesus was away from Judah because people were trying to kill him. Jesus said, we're going back. Thomas is like, they're going to look for you to kill you. I said, okay, come on. Let's go. At least we'll die with Jesus if we go back to Judah. Pretty good amount of faith right there. Come on, let's go. At least we're going to die with Jesus if we go back. But look what's also recorded. How do you remember Thomas anyway? He's got an adjective that's always linked with his name. John chapter 20, 27. Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into my side. Stop doubting and have faith. Thomas had doubts. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I suspect a number of people in here have had doubts sometime or other. Can God use people who have had doubts? Yes, he can. How about this one? Paul, the Apostle Paul. Consider Saul, who became Paul. He was on the road to Damascus. He saw Jesus in that bright light. Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He was on his way to track down followers of Jesus, to turn them over to the Jewish religious authorities where they might be imprisoned. Some of them were put to death as apostates, people who were leaving the Jewish faith. He wrote much of the New Testament. The number of words in the New Testament, the majority of them come from Paul. Yet, again, look, Acts 22, verse 4, Paul speaking here. I persecuted people who followed the way of Jesus, and some of them were even killed. I arrested men and women and put them in jail. Saul, Paul, was a blasphemer and a murderer, at the very least, an accessory, turning over people following Jesus so that some of them were killed. God used Paul. Here's the last slide coming up. What's the point of all this? God does not call the qualified. He doesn't choose people who are qualified to follow him. He doesn't say, fill out this form and I'm going to pick the top 5%. What God does instead is he qualifies those he calls. God says, Jesus says, follow me, and then he makes things out of people. The change occurs when we follow Jesus. God doesn't pick, Jesus doesn't call those who are already the best, already living perfect lives. Look at the whole list of people we've been going through here. Each one of them might have been able to say, God can't use me because of this in my past, this in my present. I've got this problem and this problem. God can't use me. God's like, let me decide who I can use and who I can't. If God can use all of these people, he can use you and me. Don't ever think otherwise. He can use you and me. The verse we had as our Bible reading this morning. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God calls everyone to come home to him, to become a follower of Jesus, to leave our lives of living for ourselves, and to start living for him anew and start fresh every single morning. What that means is that you, if you already are a member of God's family and you haven't been doing that, time to come back home. Time to tell God that I want to live the way I know I need to live. I want to be forgiven because I'm going to do better. God doesn't care what you did yesterday. He cares what you do right now. If you're not a member of God's family, he's calling you just like he called each and every one of these people. And what God wants is for you to understand that he loves you so much, he let Jesus come and die in your place, in my place. And with that knowledge, he says, you've got to turn your life around. A fancy word for that is repent. It means quit going the direction I have been, away from God. Come back home to God. And then as Jesus said in what's called the Great Commission, he told his apostles to go and make disciples in all nations and to baptize them, which means immerse. Dump them underwater to show that they've died like a burial and then be raised up. And that's where God forgives all our sins. It's not me doing it, it's God doing it. Please, please, if you're not a member of God's family and you know you need to be, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Become a member of his family today or come home to God today. All together we stand and sing.